Okay, we're recording.
Okay. Well, hello everyone, and we'll see if some more people trickle in. Judy and Matt, you've definitely been very active participants, so we thank you for joining us. And I think what I'll do is share our agenda to kind of frame our time. Can you see the agenda up?
Yes.
Okay.
I can.
Okay. So today is a very brief topic. It is to discuss feedback on the draft plan and then a quick rundown of the city council review and adoption schedule. So it's kind of an open floor meeting for you as the advisory group to let us know what you thought, good, bad, indifferent, about the 94 pages of the plan that we have. And I do have some points I can bring up as well, but I wanted to keep the floor open for the group. So I will close this one. And then at the moment we have, I believe, Eric, we're not sure whether he can join us, Michelle or Christina. I did not hear from them, nor did I hear from Doug. And I don't know that David's here today.
David will probably sign in here shortly. He is here.
Okay. Okay, so Matt, I know you had provided lots of comments and I've notated some we could discuss, but I think if Judy has any comments she'd like to put out in the floor to begin with, I think that might be a good place to start. Judy, if you're ready, do you have any responses you'd like to share?
Okay, yeah, I just had to unmute really quick. I was looking at the plan. You know, looking through this, I am not finding, I mean, this was just really well thought out and done, and I'm not, unless I'm missing something, I'm not finding anything actually to comment. We've just been so thorough all the way through, and you've been great about getting everyone's comments in and everything put together.
Okay. In terms of accessibility, did you have any concerns about just when I had, I did put alternative text for the figures and there were some tables, there were a number of tables there. So did you run into any issues?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that.
Have you, Judy, seen other cities' ADA transition plans, or have you been more just kind of consulting on pieces of policies and training?
I've been more on the pieces of policies and training, but I've been actually, I mean, this plan has looked really interesting, and on questions where I would have had some accessibility, you either had already fixed it or thought about it, or if there were pieces that I couldn't get to, you were able to help out with that. Like an example of that was with that initial survey, that GIS thingy that didn't work so well.
Okay.
I mean, you know, some things that weren't screen reader accessible, but so far all of this stuff is looking okay. You know, I don't have the pictures obviously, but the text seems, you know, I can't compare it to the picture, but it just, to me, in looking it over, it seems pretty complete.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking the time. I know it's, you know,
oh, thank
kind
you.
Of heavy, dense reading. So trying to keep it accessible literally for all abilities, but also just for intellectual,
certainly, yeah,
stimulating, that but too. Not overwhelming.
Right, right.
Okay. All right, then. Well, Matt, you're our other citizen representative at the moment. Do you want to say anything off the top of your head, or should I point out some things I noticed for the comments you provided us?
I've read a lot of comments, and good thing I should go through them all. I guess the couple points that I make is I'm happy to read the intersection of state and township will be addressed, because I've heard that on Facebook and Brenda's been telling me how she appreciates that being done. I appreciate reading that that's a high priority, and I know that other people like that too. My other comments, I guess, real quick are, one is on the building accessibility. I would think priority one would be the biggest priority, because if someone can't access the building, they're not going to use the rest of it. On the building access, the priority one was access, priority two was interior, priority three was bathroom, I think. Anyway, I was thinking priority one would be the biggest priority, because if they can't access the building, they won't use the rest of it.
Okay, so, and having read your comments too, just summarizing for the group, that the building facilities section and how Matt thinks that priority one is most important because you can't access the other facilities without the getting there through the entry or getting to the entrance. And so one thing I think what I'll do is bring up the comments that you gave Matt, because seeing them can also help me remember what you covered. I'll share this here.
And Jennifer, I know you sent comments back. I have not looked at them yet. I just haven't had time to look at them yet.
I didn't expect you to get to them yet, okay, since I only sent them within an hour ago.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see. I think.
No, I can't do that now.
So you had thought priority one was by far the most important, since if the building approach and entrance are not accessible, then to me, expending funds on other priorities does not make much sense. They would not be used if someone cannot access the building in the first place, by my reasoning. And I think that we need to clarify that this building priority matrix, it's not necessarily saying that priority one barriers will be addressed first, because cost is also a factor. And right. I think it's to help see where high and low hanging, or where low hanging fruit is as well. And the city would go through a process each budget cycle to select which barriers it can address with the funding that it has. Mark, I'm not sure if you want to elaborate any more on the way in which this is, you know, the decision-making process, given the information we've collected for the city.
Well, I guess in terms of priorities, basically what we're attempting to do is remain within our existing budget levels and shift things around and highlight priorities that are identified in the ADA transition plan here and accomplish as much as we can in that manner. Right now, we don't have specific funds identified to attack the overall $6 million estimate we have here, but we're going to be able to take little bites of the elephant and make some good progress as we go along. One thing that you probably noticed in your review is, well, I don't know that I did comment on that before, but we have prioritized in particular the state and township intersection for improvements this year as a part of our Wicker Road overlay project. We're going to be doing the three corners of that intersection that currently don't have ramps, and the one also down on Ferry and Puget, I believe it was. So the last one we'll do if we have funds enough when we get the project fully estimated, but we do anticipate doing as much of those two high priority identified intersections as we can yet this year. So we're hopping right on parts of this, and we're going to be utilizing Nathan Salcina's facilities maintenance crew to look at the things in the restrooms and things like that, moving those forward on a yearly basis and picking away at those things and doing what we can do in the short term. And then I have proposed to administration that we increase our maintenance budget by a certain amount so that we can be more aggressive on this in future budget cycles. So that's our basic approach for it right now, doing the prioritize things as quickly as we can and doing the other things that are identified according to our priority listings in the plan.
Thank you, Mark.
And thank you very much for your detailed review of the plan, Matthew. That was most helpful. I appreciated your comments.
Thank you, Mark. And
so, Mark, when we have a anticipated amount for building facilities that is currently in this draft, it's listed as 35,000 to 45,000 annually. Those are for planned projects that could potentially address ADA barriers. And I wanted to try to get down to the section where we give a little more explanation about those at the table level here.
Yeah, and that's going to primarily, in terms of ramps, which Matthew pointed out as being a high priority, we have an annual overlay project we do, one or two actually, and then in association with them, we will upgrade the ramps, and those numbers represented a portion of our annual budget that will be allocated for ramp upgrades.
Okay, so it's ramps at buildings. That's the key part, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
In addition, with larger funded projects, we also will be doing above and beyond what you see in here as well.
That's a good point. Okay. Something that came up with Matt identified it for this plan, and I also received a comment from another client, is I have a table here on page 22 of the plan that the intent was it was trying to introduce the prioritization matrix, and I think it's caused more confusion than clarity in terms of having dollar signs that are color coded. And so I wanted to discuss with the group that, you know, Matt struggled to understand how to read this figure, and it is I can agree that the cost of compliance is independent from the risk. So a high risk barrier doesn't mean that it's high cost. They are separate variables. And so Matt's recommendation that a verbose explanation would help. I do provide a written explanation on page 21 about each of the parts of the matrix, the federal guidelines that are priorities 1 through 4, and then the risk level of high, medium, low, and then cost estimates. I'm curious how the advisory group feels and even city staff feel about, you know, do you really think this is helpful? Do you like that color shading? Or now that you see it, do you feel that it's problematic and confusing? And I know that this is not necessarily something that is of, or it, there's could be differences of opinion on whether the, it helps or not. So I thought I'd ask that question.
Can I respond to that real quick?
Mm-hmm.
So if we go back to the charts, go back to page 22, I did read page 21, I thought. And when I look at page 22, go back to the chart, it tells me that if the billion assets is a low risk, the cost is higher than if it's high risk. Am I interpreting that right?
I could see how you're reading it this way. That wasn't my intention. My intention was just to show how the matrix works, that there's going to be costs in the cells for priorities. Like it's just a way to look at information. Those, I could have put a different number of dollar signs in any of those cells. So it's not trying to represent the real data. It was just a example for how to read the matrix. I do see how you could interpret it the way you did, though.
Okay. Well, I know for me that the matrix is below the chart at page 43 and beyond. For a lot more helpful for me than that graph right there. To me, that graph helps it a lot more than the prior graph. But that's just my.
Can you share that once more, Matt? I don't know if I understood.
To me, the chart on page 23 is more helpful than the chart on page 22.
Okay.
That chart there doesn't really do much for me.
Okay.
Because I don't really understand what you're trying to tell me.
Okay.
If the dollar signs are arbitrary, I guess I don't understand what that chart is trying to tell me.
Okay. So Mark, one way that this table could be, I could either remove this table and it goes straight to reading the data that has greater detail, or I could use this table to summarize. Like it would require, you know, adding up, okay, for priority one, add up all these boxes, how much that costs for high, how much does it cost for medium, how much does it cost for low. I have those calculations. Then the numbers would be real and they'd be actual numbers. I don't know if that's helpful or do you have a response?
Well, it took me a few times looking at it myself to understand what you were getting at there, but I actually understand it now. And it's just a graphical way of saying when you get down to the actual data table that these are low cost items, medium cost items, such and such. I don't, from a staff perspective, I think we're okay with the way it is. It's unfortunate it caused confusion, but it's okay. I'd actually wouldn't.
And I get it now. I finally get it. Maybe put it after the one.
Yes, I could put an asterisk below it saying that the cost of compliance is independent from the public use risk level, and also can say that these dollar signs are examples only. See figures 2 through 5 for real numbers, something to that effect.
I think that would be appropriate.
Okay, and example only cost independent. Okay, I'll do that asterisk. Okay, another area had to do with RRF, the rapid rectangular flashing beacons. And Matt, you had a question about why there was such a big cost difference of $2,500 for a RRFB that only had the vibrotactile buttons versus $10,000 for vibrotactile with audible. And I want to clarify that it should say per each side of the crossing. So in RRFB with two sides of the crossing, it'd be $5,000 for the vibrotactile only. And then our estimate is that it would be $10,000 for both sides of a crossing to have vibrotactile and audible, to have it be fully accessible. The other thing to remember is that these are construction cost estimates only, and that labor and I have a note here. Labor to install is typically 2 to 3 times the material cost. So trying to just remember that it's a cost estimate limited in its scope.
Oh, sorry, Jennifer. When I wrote that, I meant that like of the $2,500, like roughly 2/3 is the labor to install an $800 part. Let's say it's a $700 part, the other balance of that, results in $2,500.
So, oh, okay. Okay.
It's like a $700 unit, and it costs you $1,800 to install it and wire it and do, some of the other things. Very, wow. Very high, 30,000 foot level estimating, if you will, for this.
Okay, so construction is labor plus materials.
Correct, correct. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying.
Roughly, the audio is twice as much, not 4 times as much.
Correct.
Yeah.
And Matt, we're glad to hear that that there are a number of RRFBs that make transportation for you easier. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
I think one more helpful spot would be to discuss this question you have here about the curb ramp barrier removal schedule. And, there's 6.1 million of estimated need, and for each year, there's $15,000 from the CIP for arterial streets. And so I think when looking at the whole curb ramps program, and it is over a 6-year period with estimated annual amounts, yes, $15,000 annually is about one ramp, but it's also remembering that some of the planned projects may be addressing ramps as well. And so maybe Mark, if you can kind of clarify, when you see these numbers here, they're amounts that are tied to projects, correct? Or in addition to projects? Sure.
Tied to both, our overlay projects and anticipated grant-funded larger projects that would affect ramps. That's what those dollars represent. And that is just the ramp portion of those projects. That's the part that would actually replace or upgrade existing ramps.
And do you think that those would be, you know, because usually if you do one ramp, you might have to do a ramp on the other side, the receiving ramp. Is that $15,000 annual, is that kind of an estimate that maybe one year you would do two and another year you might not do any?
Well, where do you see 15, 19?
What was that?
Before, you know, the, 21 to 26. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I guess my question is Matt's question, how would you answer Matt's question? Would that be one ramp upgrade per year?
Well, just looking at the raw numbers there, that's what it would be, but that's not really what's going to happen. We're going to replace multiple ramps on each project as a part of the job. So I may have to go back and look back at these numbers again. I gave you some figures that represented a certain number of ramps per year being complete, and it is correct that you look at 90,000 divided by 6 years, and that's basically a one ramp a year, and I don't think that was the intent.
I think that's where that 15 came in, yeah, averaging out.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So this is Judy, and it sounds to me like what you don't, like as I look over these two, like what you're actually not seeing in the tables are where some projects are actually going to end up overlapping just because of the by nature of the project. Am I correct?
Well, those are three different categories of projects there. So those would be independent of one another.
Is it possible that you may have a pavement overlay project that triggers ramp removal that's like built into your cost for that overlay project?
Well, when I gave you the figures on what our annual budget would represent, that was intended to figure that would be a certain number of those covered by an average project.
I think that's what I was meaning to get at.
According to table one, there's 60,000 allowed for years of all classes. And I think that's probably a bit light. I'll look back at these numbers. It's probably the best answer I can give you right now.
Okay.
See. Yeah.
Okay. And Matt, when you comment that, you know, at roughly, you said 80,000 per year, it would take 76 years to pay off 6.1 million. I can share with you that another client, their number of barriers, and it will take them much longer than 76 years to remove their barriers. So this is an ADA transition plan, it's an it's a super long-term plan. It's more than a 20-year plan. It's just the need is so great that it's more trying to, the biggest point of the plan in some ways is to get agencies moving towards compliance, because we know that full compliance is unfortunately very far away with just fiscal limitations and the scale of need.
Well, so, when I read that it's 50 grand for one lab, my eyes popped out of my head. And like, I couldn't believe it, because $15,000 for one lab. But I don't know how much it costs, but I just couldn't believe that.
It's pretty expensive. It does totally depend on the location. For instance, those ramps at state and township, we've got $50,000 allowed basically to replace three ramps there.
Wow.
That's about 16,000 a ramp, 16, 70,000 a ramp. And the reason is, in that particular intersection, we've got some drainage that we have to take care of. We've got a, you probably recall, there's a huge cedar tree in one of the quarters. We got to cut down, take the roots out. So it just adds up really quickly. And, yeah. But I would say too, and it does occur elsewhere in the plans there, when you look at the existing facilities, Jennifer can probably take you to the location. We've been doing somewhere in the order of 20 ramps a year, 10 to 20 ramps a year over the last 14 years here. So we've been doing all right. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to do 50. That's just not in the cards with the funding that we currently have.
I know that I'm appreciative of two ramps in particular, where I don't have to get them off a bike anymore. I'm very grateful for those. Thank you.
Yeah, and again, the purpose of this plan is to identify those really high impact areas and do those first and foremost. And so even though we'll be in this effort, the transition plan, with the adoption of the plan, that doesn't mean any of the members of the committee would like to continue to advise us on priority areas. That's exactly what we're going to look at, is any prioritized intersections. That's what we will try to take care of in the following year with our programmed repair program. We do have $25,000 for the next 2 years just for ramp upgrades in various places. And then I do plan to increase that to $50,000, and hopefully that'll just continue to go up over time, so we can continue to chip away at this this backlog that we have. It's interesting that there was a prototypical transition plan done in Bellevue back some years ago. It was used kind of as the model in Washington State to kick off this whole process. And I know, looking at the just the ramps, they had over 100 years to upgrade all of those to the standards, to their plan. And they were spending $1 million a year for that, but you know, they're just a much larger agency. And so, yeah, proportionally speaking, they were still looking at a long time period to get everything up to snuff.
And I've brought up the table that looks at the recent City of Cedar Woolley improvements. And so you can see between 2014 to 2020, there's been an estimated investment of roughly $500,000 into curb ramps. So and the city's overall compliance rate is over 50%, which is better than I've seen with other agencies I've been working with. So that we wanted to give the city credit for its recent active efforts to address ramps.
Sure.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. The other questions you had, Matt, I think I addressed them in the comments when you have time to read them. And thank you for pointing out the areas where I need to fix some typos. That close reading is very appreciated.
Thank you.
And thanks for pointing out that one of the addresses was an address you want removed so that you're not advertising to the world.
Yeah, these people come to my door.
Yeah. So I was wondering, I was curious. I was like, this is, you know, it happens that our address will just, you know, the submitter might not realize that where the pin is. So that mapping survey, it's not the best, but I wanted to, you know, give it as an option for people.
Right.
So I'll address those. Let's see. I'm not sure. I'm going to look to see if anyone else has been able to join the group. I see 6 participants still. Okay. So it's still just us 6. All right. Well, if there aren't any other comments, I could discuss what's slated to happen next.
Could I ask one question about the draft they had?
Yes.
Not to be discriminatory at all, I just wonder if I read about programs making playgrounds accessible. I guess at the risk of sounding discriminatory, I thought if someone had a hard time getting to a playground, would they use it? I guess I don't understand what you would have to do to make a playground accessible.
To make a program accessible, let's
playground
accessible.
Steps to make a playground accessible. Our architect has a checklist that looks at playground accessibility features. I don't know more than that. I know there's maybe there is a resource at the bottom for building park and trails, outdoor developed areas. It may be
here. I can see Jennifer. So access to the equipment is important, and so that was actually identified as a couple of the deficiencies. We have some brand new basketball courts, for instance, at Metcalf Park that don't have a hardened surface to get to them from the.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, that adding a sidewalk in those instances, the surfacing of the playground itself has to be accessible, and so what in this current age. It also has to be soft, so it's kind of, in a way, it's almost a counterintuitive thing, but there is a certain material that we put in the newer playgrounds, like you'll see over at Bingham, that is actually, you can roll a wheelchair over it. So you have to have a way to get there, and then you have to be able to actually get around on it. And I know also on our paths, we have some that are gravel, and they identify deficiencies were just maintenance items where they had become rutted such that they wouldn't work very, very well for wheelchairs. And so that's just something kind of a programmatic thing where you have to make sure whether or not you rate those out and they remain accessible after they're put in originally. And then there's the equipment itself. One of the priorities of Mayor Johnson has been to look at making sure we have at least some equipment in our playgrounds that is actually usable by impaired persons. And so we're working on that as well, and we'll be buying equipment that is set up for that use. So for instance, a swing that actually can be adapted to an impaired person and used for that purpose. And so that's kind of the long and short of it, what I understand about playgrounds.
I appreciate that, because I thought, well, if someone have mobility issues, they're not going to go down the side anyway.
Yep.
So, okay, thank you.
And Matt, I just checked on the last page of the plan. under these resources, there is a link for outdoor developed areas, and that's where there's the standards for place structures, and it covers other items like amusement parks, swimming pools. There's a whole host of standards applicable to play.
By the time I got to page 94, I was pretty tired.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. This is to protect the city, to show this is where we got our information. Right. I do not, you know, if you read through all 94 pages, you're a winner. It was hard to figure out, you know, provide detail to not make someone have to look at appendices all the time, considering there's 1,000 pages of appendices documentation. But I'm glad it's under 100, I guess. And I apologize for my barking dog. He should stop in a moment.
No problem. It's dinner time probably for him.
Getting close, yep.
But no, I will get that there because I'm curious, because I know when they're building that project, he feels the accessible to everybody. I thought if you're going to play on a playground, you have to have some mobility to bring you with everything. So, anyway, thank you for that resource.
All right. Okay. Well, how about I share the process for wrapping up this plan? Let's see here. All right. I will share my screen and then go calm my dog.
Can you tell me what you're putting up on the screen?
Yes, I am putting up just some meeting notes that I will be filling out to share with the group that summarize what we've discussed.
All right.
And thank you for reminding me to share what I'm doing.
That's okay.
The next part, I'm just going to describe what the city council review and adoption schedule is.
Mm-hmm.
And so the schedule is that I will submit a draft final plan to Mark by April 7th. And that will be going into the city council packets for the following week's meeting. Mm-hmm. The city council will have that week to read and comment on it at the April 14th meeting. Then once we get those comments back, the final plan I will submit to Mark on April 21st. It will go to the city council packets for their review, and the adoption is scheduled for the April 28th meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The public comment period will end on the 18th, so Thursday.
I did see that earlier, yeah.
I haven't received any comments. Mark, have you had any feedback?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. And Bill, this may be a relevant piece for you. Are you the person that checks the social media accounts for any activity or comments?
Yes.
Okay.
So Jennifer?
Yes?
You remember Brenda from the public workshop?
I remember the public workshop. What about it?
There's a lady named Brenda who was there who talked about the programs. And she seemed very interested in this project.
Oh, okay.
Then posted on Facebook her comments about it. So she might want to look at this. I just realized. So can I send this to her for her review?
You are welcome to send it, or I can too, if you, because do you, I would, sorry, do you know this person or have their contact information? Otherwise, I can look at the workshop.
I know Brenda personally.
Okay, you are welcome to send it to her.
She's the same one that was on in the fall when we had that public workshop, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember her.
She's been, this project is near and dear to her heart. And she's been posting on Facebook her appreciation for the city for putting this together. And her pictures with her walker. She had a walker that she used because she had surgery.
That's great. Yes, you are welcome to share this with anyone else you think might have some feedback and that it would be helpful for them to know this effort the city's been engaging with.
And I probably should have done this sooner if she needs to have a comment in by Thursday.
Well, we have some wiggle room. I still will have some time. You know, I'm putting together this final plan by April 7th. So I would say, you know, send it to her because she's an interested party and she can contact Mark when she can, and we'll do our best to include her comments.
Okay.
So Jennifer, one thing I was remiss in telling you, and I hope this doesn't create too much of a hassle for you. The date, the actual adoption date required by FHWA is actually April 21st and not April 31st.
Really? They published an exact date now?
That's what I got from the information that I saw. And I'll verify that again, but I looked at it again last week in planning out my council meetings. When I was doing the SEPA is when that came up. And I neglected to get back and let you know that. So what I've told council, and it doesn't really change anything because I can do it with the draft plan we have now, is that I would have this to them for a first read on the meeting on March the 24th, which is next week. And then we would bring it back to them for a final read on April the 14th. So which speeds everything up by 1 week. I wouldn't actually need to have your final version of this, but you were planning to submit it to me on the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
That still works for that. But I would have a first read based on what we have right now to the council on March the 24th.
So, okay.
And then adoption on April the 14th.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. If they're willing to review it in its draft form, that actually saves a round of review. So that's even more efficient. That's great.
And that, and still, if Matt's friend has any comments they want to make, or if any of the committee has any other comments, we'll have some time still to incorporate those.
Well, that's great. I like the idea of a plan getting done and out in the world sooner than later. Okay. Okay. The final item then will be our next and final intended meeting for this project effort on the 20th of April. And that will be kind of more of just a kind of closing out and celebrating our accomplishments and a brief discussion of how the committee, what way the advisory committee may or may not have any type of future role. And that would be more on thinking of perhaps an annual basis, that it just takes time for the plan to start getting implemented and to have progress to report on. So that meeting that, I guess at the moment, is that a meeting you guys want to spend the time to have? Or is that something you'd rather do via email? I thought it'd be good to give that option to you all, or the two of you that are with us.
You know, I'm open either way. I think it's been really interesting for me because, like you said, I've never had to go through a plan before. And it just seems like this has been a very well thought out plan, and the comments have been great. And I know Matt has thought of comments that I hadn't thought of. So, you know, I'm really glad, you know, that, you know, we have the committee that we do. I'm open to either one, either the email. I think it's going to depend on everybody's time and so forth, but I'm open to either one.
I'm open to either one, but I hope we would have an ending meeting because I guess in general, I like to understand, you know, now what.
You want to talk about the now what? Okay.
Yeah. The next steps.
Okay. All right. Well, what I'll do is I'll propose a meeting and see if anyone can't make it or doesn't want to make it. maybe it'll just be a brief, you know, 15, 20 minutes or something to mark the kind of bookend for now.
I'm kind of surprised we didn't have more people on this one, because this is right before, you know, like you said, it goes to city council.
You know, it's probably overwhelming to see 90 pages to read as well. So I'll send a follow-up to the group to, you know, just share what we discussed a bit and to say, you know, if you want to submit any comments to via email, you have until the 18th. So the opportunity exists, even if it wasn't in this meeting.
Yeah. You know, and you have said that in your other email too. You were very thorough.
Let's give it everyone the options.
Mark?
Yes.
I believe you mentioned in your earlier meeting that we should be at the council meeting when this is adopted. Should we be at the one March 24th and the one on April 14th or both or neither?
Well, I think that would be up to you. Probably the one that would be most useful would be on March the 24th. That's when I'll do a presentation on it. And I certainly can make sure you get invited to both of them.
Okay. What time is the 24th one?
The council meetings are at 6:00.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
And they're via Zoom also.
Yeah. Because I have another one on the 24th too, and I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that.
So Jennifer,
I'd like to hear the presentation and the adoption. To me, that would close the loop and make it for our final hearing. I'd like to be at that meeting if I can.
Yep, we'll make sure you get an invitation for both of those.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome.
The meetings are on the 2nd and the 4th Wednesday of the month.
2nd and 4th, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Judy and Matt, you are free. I have one follow-up question with Mark, but thank you for your time, Judy and Matt.
Thank you, too. And thank you for your great emails as well. And good to see you again, too, Mark.
Good to see you.
Thank you. I enjoyed the process.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Mark, that April 21st date you mentioned, do you recall where you saw that? Is it on WSDOT that's saying April 21st?
It's in the DOT information that was sent out to the agencies. So I'll pull that up and send that to you.
Thank you. Because we had, so far we had been functioning off of the just month, April. So if there actually is a date, I'd like to be able to communicate that to one of our other agencies that we're working with.
Well, I doubt if it has any real consequence, because ultimately what's going to happen is the next time we apply for federal funds, they're going to ask, do you have an adopted transition plan or not? And so we have, we have funds that are closing May 1st here locally. And so either way, we would, if we adopted it on the 21st or on the 31st, it would be fine. So, but they actually listed the date of the 21st. And so I was a little surprised by that too, but I'll pull that out and send it to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Well, Bill, thanks. Kirk, thanks. I'll let you go.
And if you wouldn't mind, add to your minutes the follow-up items for me to both do that, to send that information to you, and to invite the advisory group to the council meetings.
Okay. Are you ready for me to stop recording and end the meeting, or should I just stop recording?
You can stop recording and end the meeting.